Hallelujah. Yep. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you for the time to be all together here today. Thank you for the opportunity to be alive. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be all here as a church, as a body. And we declare your glory. We declare the manifestation of your grace, your favor, the manifestation of the deliverance in us. Thank you, God. Thank you for the salvation. Thank you for everything. We ask you that the Holy Spirit continue blessing the church, talking to the church, talking to me, to continue growing with you. Continue growing in that relationship that you want us to be with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We will continue talking about endurance. And I want to share a story that I think you guys might already know about this story. And it is about some teachers from engineering school were invited to a trip after they were all comfortably seated. They were informed that the plane was built by their students. You guys remember that one? They got up and ran desperately outside, almost panicking. Only one teacher remained calm and seated at his spot. When the other teachers asked why he was so calm, he said, "I know the capacity of my students. If they build it, I'm sure this plane is not going to start." This plane is not going to start, even though it's going to start. That's trust, right? So today we're going to talk about trust, having that confidence. Because I don't know how you guys feel, but when you are in a taxi or limo or maybe a plane, anything like that, there's someone over there driving that for you. And you're putting your full confidence and trust that that person is capable to take you to destination B from A. So it's really having that heart of trust. And today we like to share some story in the Bible related to that. Something really that I think is going to be beneficial for everyone because it's the Word of God. What else is better than that? Nothing. That will continue helping us to understanding and trusting more in God, in the Lord, so that way we can continue moving forward and endure in those moments of difficulties. So in order to do that, I'd like to share some verses that God provide. And the first one that I want to share with you guys, it is Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5 and 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." All your heart. We need to make sure that your hearts are going to be just trusting in the Lord all the time. God continue blessing me during that sickness time and understanding this scripture a little bit more better. So as you guys know, we already talked about it. This scripture, the Word of God, is always trying to become life in your life so that way it can be applicable. Otherwise, it's just words, right? But that's why James, it says, be a doers. Because something is going to happen related to the word that we're talking. If we're talking about endurance, boom, sickness. At least for me, that was one of my experience these past 2 weeks. So if you're talking about endurance, John, let's see if you endure really. Let's see if you apply the word of God in your life to stay firm and believing and trusting in him. Because otherwise, it's just going to be words. So now that was my moment. That was my opportunity to apply the word of God. If I'm talking that, if I'm trusting in that word, let me apply it. Let me apply that in my life, and then I can continue moving forward and get blessed by that word of God. So the same concept of these Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I need to trust in the Lord all the way on my heart. All my heart, you have to be trusting and having confidence on the Lord. Because of what? Because that will be open and making my path straight. That will give me the visibility of my next steps, what is the next decision that I'm supposed to make, because all my heart is believing and trusting in God. I don't know maybe what is going to be the future, right? But if we talk about something like in Revelation, that we know how the end of the world and everything is going to happen, so we know that. We know that it's something is going to happen, and we trust in that word. We have that confidence that God will protect us because we are believers, because we are safe. And that's our confidence. We trust in the Lord. But in between that completion of our end of the life or the end of the world, whatever is going to happen, we trusting in the Lord that anything is going to happen through that middle time, middle moment, is going to help us to grow in relationship with Him. But the most important detail over here is to say, lean not on your own understanding. And what is that? That's talking about we as a human being, the own understanding that we have about what we think is supposed to be, what we think is supposed to be the life, the formula, the rules, the things that we need to follow. Sometimes that understanding is from us, is from the earth. It might be not from God. We have to just be careful. Because yes, it might be from God. Maybe God give you some revelation or something through the Word of God, through His Word. He might be give you or provide you something that you need to follow, right? But then you have to be careful that you don't get confused with your own desires, what you think is correct in your life. That it might be not correct because God is, He have different path for you. So now if you change your heart to trust and have confidence on Him, He will show you the straight path all the time. Also, Psalm 91:2, the Word of God says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. The Psalm is talking here about, I will say, I will proclaim all the time, He's my refuge, He's my fortress, He's my protection, He's my coverage. And when we really have that mindset in our life and we proclaim that, we are showing that we really trust in Him. We are really trusting that anything that is happening in our life is under His control. And everything have a good purpose in our life. Anyway, I know because I'm part of that, and I know all of you guys also in your independent situations, you're going through each X, Y situations, and that situation sometimes it shakes you, right? It make you to get to that point that you feel like, I don't know. Let me take the control over here. Let me do my will over here. Because this is not from God. We don't know. Maybe God is doing something over there. Let's let Him finish the job to grow that relationship with you. I want to go to Psalm 125. When I mean 125, I mean 125, sorry. Let's go to Psalm 125. This is just like five verses, and I want to read all of them. That's why I want to go to the scripture. Hallelujah. 125, it says, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. Who? Those who trust in the Lord. If you put that confidence, that trust in the Lord, you're like the Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surrounding Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people both now and forevermore. That's not just for that time. That's applicable right now also. Trust in this word. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. For then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Lord, do good to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be on Israel. Hallelujah. You and I, if we really, really trust in the Lord, if we really have that heart, we are like the Mount Zion, covering Jerusalem, protecting over there. Then nothing will move that. Nothing will remove that right now in your life. You will be covered and protected, but you have to trust in the Lord. Lean not in your own understanding, because that's you. And again, this is a spiritual. In our own body right now here, flesh, earthly, we can't do nothing against the spiritual stuff. We just need to trust in our heart that everything will be manifested by God and healed by God and protected, covered by God. He's the one, not us. All the glory to Him. We just need to trust in Him, having that heart, and that will help us to continue growing in that relationship. Now, let's go to Daniel 3, because Daniel 3 will show a little bit more about this story, and I want to share with you guys 3 points over there really quick. Daniel 3, and before we tell the story about these guys that you guys already know, we're talking about this king, and help me here, Nebuchadnezzar? Okay, when I say king, you know who it is. Sorry. So that king in that moment from Babylon, right? He was destroying, he destroyed the whole Jerusalem and the Israelites. He destroyed all the land, kept captive the Israelites or the Hebrews, and then bring them to the different places, different locations. And at that moment, he have a dream. And then he have Daniel captive. So he have a dream about a big statue, and then different compositions of that statue, like different pieces, like gold. They have also silver, different metals, right? So that's different kingdoms. Daniel revealed that dream for him and say, "This is 4 kingdoms, which is the kingdom of Romans, kingdom of Greek, the kingdom of the Middle Persia, and also the kingdom of Babylon, which is the one that he was, that was the one, the top one, the gold one." Some people believe that the interpretation of what he built in that time physically, which it was like a 90-foot statue of whole gold, it was to represent his kingdom, the kingdom of that king, okay? He wanted to just show that. He just wanted the people to be united and get all together in one place and worship that statue. That was his plan. That was his goal. But then he had this situation with 3 guys, 3 Hebrews. 3 of them. Really, that they didn't move to the left or to the right. They just continued believing in their God. Let's read. Daniel. Bless you. I'm going to try, okay? Don't help me over here. Let's do 3:1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of God, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, which is 90 feet by 9 feet, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the straps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. I'm gonna move forward to 7. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They say to the king, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issue a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, whatever, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up. Furious with rage, the king summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and the king said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you heard the sound of the horn, flute, cither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter." The first point that I want to share with you guys. See the positions of these guys. I'm not going to defend myself. Trust. I know, I understand. I'm not going to lean in my understanding. I'm not capable to defend myself in front of you. But I have someone else that he can do that for me. Someone that is more powerful, that I know is powerful than you. That's the first point that I want to share with you guys. We need to remove that out of our hearts. Sometimes in the spiritual realms, we cannot defend ourselves. We need the help of God. We need to trust in Him. These guys understood that. In front of the king, again, you know, this is a big statue, getting all the people together. The goal is to get united here, everyone, worshiping this guy, Babylon. They're not just worshiping that one. They were worshiping a lot of different gods and different stuff. Because that was their culture. That was the way that they were manifesting their religions or believing. They were just worshiping others, everything, different stuff. But that was the goal of the king. It was to get people united. So please, keep that in mind. Because that's the goal of that king. These three guys, they know the real God in their life. And they know that they cannot defend themselves against that environment because they understand they don't have power against that. But they have someone, they know someone that it can control that, that it can defend that, that it can protect them. That was their hearts. And that's the heart that I believe God wants us, you and me, to have in our daily life. Having that confidence, that trust, that He will defend you and me. Sickness, problems, situations, or anything, He will do that. He will defend you against that. He will protect you. Let's go really quick. Hallelujah. 17. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And He will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if He does not, what kind of mentality is that one? Right? I'm there, right? Some of us are there like always. Yeah, we trust in God and we always be positive, optimistic. Everything will be fine. But these guys are considered in other things also. In case he's not, because it's his will. The hearts of these people are putting God's will first than anything. It doesn't matter the outcome in the earth. If it might be good to my eyes or not good to my eyes, his will is perfect, is great. It doesn't matter the outcome because my heart is trusting in the Lord. That's what these guys are saying over here. But even if he does not, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods. What kind of heart is that one? Oh my goodness. I know it's difficult for us here in this earth fighting against those things. But these guys, they have that heart. And they say, we believe and trust in him that he will protect us, that he will cover us. But in case he don't want to because his will is great, is magnificent, is fantastic, is power, I'm not going to worship your God. I'm going to continue worshiping him, doing his will, trusting in him anyway, because he knows better than anyone. Hallelujah. Then the king was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. Second point I want to share with you guys today. Bound. There's two point of view of that. The first one that I want to share with you guys. Okay, we have the statue, gold, unity of the town, of the people. That's the purpose of the king. But we have these three guys that they're not going to do that. We have three different guys, three different personalities, different attitudes, different mindset, okay? But the scripture says that they bound. They get bound. They get all together, right? We have one point of view of tied, being tied. The other one is bound. Bound. Get bound in between all you guys. Unity. So anyway, these three guys are might be different. Different personality and different mindset. God was creating a bounding between them because God was the center of them. Follow me? Okay. Let's go really quick to 1 Corinthians 11, 17. Our group was talking about that this week. I want to share this because it's kind of related to this. When I mean our group, I mean the small group. 1 Corinthians 11, 17, it says, in the following directive, this is Paul talking to the Corinthians, I have no praise for you. For your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt. There have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. That's the purpose of that. We are not perfect. We are different people here. Paul is talking to the church of Corinthians. But Paul is trying to send a message to them saying, I need you guys to be united. I need to you to understand that if God is in the middle of you, Jesus Christ is in the middle of you, that keep you, that bounding between you guys. Anyway, we have different opinions. Anyway, we have different point of view. That's fine. We came from different cultures, different mindsets also, different style of life. That's okay. The point is to have Jesus Christ over there in the middle with us, because that will create that bounding. And anyone will throw you in the fire if Jesus Christ is over there. We will survive. We will succeed. We will win against the enemy. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three gather in the name of who? Jesus Christ. Two or three. There am I with them." But this is not just, don't just say it. Believe it. Have the trust and confidence in your heart. Make sure that Jesus Christ is really in the middle of us, and that will continue bounding us, and Jesus Christ will be there. He say that, not me, not anyone else. He say it. If you really believe in every scripture in the Bible, and he say it, trust in that. Have the heart that if we are really there together with Jesus Christ, two or three gathered together with Jesus Christ over there in the middle, always with us, he will be there. And if he's there, that's another story that I will continue sharing with you guys. It says here, the king commander was so urgent, and I'm in 22, and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing fire. Then Cain leaped to his feet in an amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four." Praise the Lord. I see four. From where that one come from? Hallelujah. Because when there's two or three, with the right heart trusting and having confidence in God, he's there with them. He's going to be there with you. But we have to make sure to be all together as a unity heart, believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ. And he will be there, protecting us, covering us. I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the four looks like a son of the gods. The king then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out, come here." Hallelujah. The other point of view is that when you create that bound, the enemy, it will try to tie you up, okay? But when you are creating that bound between you and your friends and your coworkers and your family, your relative, your member of church, when you create that bound, believing that God is over there in the middle, and they throw you in the fire, the enemy will put confusion in your mind to think that you are tied up. But according to this scripture, when they were in the blazing fire, they tied up the rope, they were released. Because God was there with them. I was not there. But they were walking inside of the blazing furnace. They were just walking over there. "Hey, Jesus Christ, what's going on?" "This is amazing." Woo, dancing in the fire. That's amazing. That's great. For me, it's a praise for God. It's an hallelujah to God. In a representation of a spiritual environment that you and I go through in a daily basis. If we apply those principles and we believe in that, He will be there. He will protect you. But the heart that these people have is a heart of honor. And when you have a heart of honor, honor your God, therefore will move you to servant. That's why they call, the king called them a servant of your God. Because they have that heart of honor God. And when that happened, the same king asked them, come out, get out of there. What else am I going to do to you? I can't do anything. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. The king said, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. Honor, honor. They trusted in him. Who you're trusting? Are you trusting in the government? Are you trusting in the taxes? Are you trusting in a work environment? Are you trusting in your boss? Are you trusting what you're trusting? Is God your first trust, or maybe secondary or third option? These guys just trust in God. That's it. They just trust in God. Proverbs 27:10 says, do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. And do not go to your relative's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a relative far away. That's the scripture. Unity. Unity. That's what God wants from us. That's what will give you power as a church. Power as an individual with relationship with God. Unity. Let's do it. Hallelujah. They trust in him and defy the king's command and were willing to give up their life rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. Hallelujah. That's the whole story. While we're trusting, are we really trusting in God? Are we really just not just trusting in ourselves and other stuff in our life? Are we trusting maybe in the medicine? While we're trusting, put all that heart with God. He will continue blessing you and protecting you, covering you. Trust in him. He will bless you. Believe me. I know he's going to do it with you. He's going to do it with us. But just put that trust in him. And any way they're going to put you in fire, nothing is going to happen, according to the scripture. And if I trust in one word in the scripture, I'm supposed to trust in the rest, right? Because it's all blessed and inspired by God. So he's not a man to lie, or a son of man to lie, or to not be or comply with his word. If he say it, he's going to do it. He's going to make it happen. So whatever he put over here, whatever he stipulated in the Bible, we trust in that. We have the confidence of that. Let me leave you with this one. Psalm. I just remember Psalm 2. Really quick. And then we will be preparing for the communion. Okay, Psalm 2. And I'm just going to read from number 10. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss his son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. When you trust in God, it's like refuge. He will create that refuge in you. And you trusting in that, you have that confidence. Something really interesting that I just learned in these years that I've been as a Christian, it is a definition of a word of trust in the Bible. I never heard this before. Never. This is the first time when I was reading and studying this a little bit more. The Hebrew word for rekjat, rekjat, it threw my head like different, whoa, direction. But when we're reading that verse in Daniel, when he say, they trust him. We say they trust him. That trust, it means that person, that servant heart that is cleaning the bathroom. Really interesting. Hebrew words sometimes is different in different verse. This one, it was just a specific for that one. So that person that is cleaning, or that person that is ministering like a servant in cleaning the bathroom, that's the meaning of trusting in Hebrew for that moment when it says they trust in the Lord. In other words, my understanding of this, it is because these guys, they have that heart to honor God. Like when you are cleaning the bathroom, you are removing what? All the germs, everything, removing, cleaning everything, getting out everything. Because it's so important for us to clean our hearts. Removing anything that is not from God. That is creating doubt and creating other stuff that is gonna not helping to trust in him, and you will lean in your own understanding. Clean your hearts. That's our responsibility. Believe in him, trust in him, and he will continue protecting you and covering you. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment in time. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. We worship you. We declare your glory over here. We declare your presence over here. Please, God, continue blessing the church with your word, with your life, with the relationship that you want us to have with you, and continue building that trust that anything that it can happen in our life, any way it might be good or not good for our own understanding here, your will prevail. Your will be the one that we are going to trust. That we have the confidence that you have a good purpose inside of any situation that we are going through. In the name of Jesus Christ, we bless this church. We bless everyone here and declare also continuation of unity of the church. Because that will give the power to the church. That will give the strength to the church and be successful. Be the church that you want us to be. Removing and rebuking any plans of the enemy. Because the enemy is trying always to put some doubts and thoughts in our mind and our hearts to divide the church. Please, God, continue helping us and continue blessing the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.